Welcome to Choose Life, the radio teaching ministry of author, speaker, and Bible teacher Deborah Ross. What does God want for those of us who follow Him? Well, Scripture tells us that He wants to walk with us and talk with us. He wants a covenant relationship through which His blessings will chase us down when we trust Him and stay focused on His Word. So what does God want? For us to be His bride. Here's Deborah Ross with insights on God's greatest desire.
I love Deuteronomy 28. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, I really love this. If you can picture with me, I think we spend so much of our time trying to chase the blessings down. We're trying to chase the blessings of God down. And God says in verse 2, He says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." In other words, God wants the blessings to chase you down. That's His plan. He loves you. Verse 3 says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come up out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." Friend, listen to this. If we will just learn to trust in the Lord, learn to rest in His protection, He says that when our enemies come up against us one way, that we will actually see them flee before us in seven directions. "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You know, there's probably somebody out there right now thinking, you know, I need a job. What can I do? I'm looking for a job. What am I good at? And God says, He says, "I will bless all that you set your hand to." Do something. Do something. God will bless it. He's a good God. Verse 9 says, "The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee." He says, "If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways." And then it says, "All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand." There it is again. "And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Oh, that's good. Now, friend, I can remember a time in my life when I was always the borrower, never the lender. God says He wants to turn things right side up in your life. He wants you to be the lender and not the borrower. And verse 13 says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them." You see, God wants to bless His children. And I think sometimes when we read passages like Deuteronomy 28, we think, oh, well, you know, that sounds like the law, because it says, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and that sounds like bondage. No, friend, it's not bondage. It's liberation. You see, when we are children of the King, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will whisper gently to us in the direction that we should go. The Holy Spirit will order our steps. The Word of God will give us direction. And then we have a choice. Are we going to obey the Word of God? Are we going to obey the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to say, no, Holy Spirit, I don't need you on this one. I've got this one. I can do this by myself. Well, that's where we get into trouble. But when we learn to be obedient to the Word of God, when we learn to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, that's when the blessings of God will chase us down and overtake us. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to bless us. You know, He wants us to hearken to His voice because He wants to have relationship with us. It's not about rules. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's about a relationship with a good God who loves us. He wants us to observe and to do His commandments, not because of rules, but because He loves us. And His commandments give us boundaries so that we can stay safe in His protection and His provision. He doesn't want us to look to the right or the left or be distracted by the enemy. And the enemy's always coming against us. The enemy's always trying to cause distraction. But God wants us to stay focused and to stay focused on His Word and focused on what it is that He has called us to do and what it is that He wants us to do this day, this minute, this hour, this moment, because God is good. What is God's greatest desire? His greatest desire is to marry His bride. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord has been saying, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. He loves you. He loves you, and He has good gifts for you. The Lord wants to be intimately involved with us. He wants to be our protector. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be our first love. He wants to be one with us. And you know, it's like a man and a woman when they're married, they become one. The Bible says they become one flesh. And God wants to be one with us. He doesn't want to rule over us in the way that some men treat their wives and with force. He wants to be a husband, a good husband to His bride. He wants to be the perfect husband, not some general God. You know, today we have people who believe in God. I mean, some kind of God. I mean, everybody believes in God, right? Well, no, He doesn't want to be a general God. He wants to be the only, the one true God, the perfect husband for His bride. You see, Yahweh's covenant with His people is this: I created you, and even though you rebelled against me, I sent my Son to die for you. I have conquered your enemy, the devil, and I will continue to defend you from him. Therefore, you will serve me and offer me praise. You see, we want to serve Him. We want to offer Him praise because He loves us. He loves us. And He's a good God. Hosea 2:16 says, And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ish, and shalt call me no more Bahali. Now, friend, I looked up the word Ish, and it says, my husband. The word Bahali refers to the hideous idol Baal. Bahali means master. It means Lord, but not in the way that we think of master and Lord as in our loving Heavenly Father. More in the way of a taskmaster. More in the way of one who just rules over and really puts someone in bondage. And the Lord says, And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ish. In other words, you will call me husband. And you will not call me Bahali. You will not call me that hard taskmaster. You will not call me that hideous idol Baal. You will call me the one true God because I love you. I teach a lot of marriage classes, and I've found that the greatest need that women have is security. And the greatest need that men have is respect. And you see, when I think about the church and when I think about the Lord and I think about the marriage, think about this. The greatest need that the bride has, the bride of Christ, is security. And the greatest need that the bridegroom has is respect. Just love him. Just respect him. Just honor his word. Just do what he says to. Just believe him. And when we do, the body of Christ, the church, has security because he wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to make us the head and not the tail, the first and not the last, the lender and not the borrower. He wants to make sure that when our enemies come in against us one way, that they will flee before us in seven directions. Our earthly marriage, it should be a picture of our heavenly marriage. Matthew 13 verses 54 through 58 says, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." You see, Jesus needed respect to do miracles. When he was in his own hometown, they said, "Oh, that's just Joseph's son. That's just Jesus. We know him. We grew up with him. He's not anybody special." And it says he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, you see, friend, if Jesus needed respect, let's look at the marriage in this. How much more do our husbands need respect to do mighty works in our home? So you see, our marriage is a picture of our relationship with Christ. It's a picture of our relationship with Christ. Isaiah 54:5 says, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." Friend, marriage is intimate, it's personal, it should be based on unconditional love. It's the highest relationship found in the human family, and the Song of Solomon says, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Marriage is holy. It's holy. And our marriage on earth should be a picture of our marriage to Christ. You know, God wants to walk with us and talk with us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be our husband. He loves us. God's greatest desire is to be our God. He wants us to be his people. He wants to marry his bride. The word covenant in Hebrew is berith. It means pledge or alliance. A covenant is joyous because it's two parties coming together in an agreement that they will behave a certain way because they want to. A covenant is relational. It values the interest of the other person. But a contract, that suggests distrust. And it's intended to punish one party should they break the contract. A contract is legalistic. It's self-serving. A covenant is what God wants with us. He wants to make covenant with us. He says, "I will love you regardless, and I want you to love me. I love you. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people." He wants to marry his bride.
Choose Life has been paid for by the friends and partners of Deborah Ross Ministries. Thank you for your support. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching with author and speaker Deborah Ross. Until then, go to DeborahRossMinistries.org for more encouraging messages, plus books, CDs, articles, partnership information, and how to stay connected with Deborah. Choose Life is committed to strengthening families, encouraging faith, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find out more at DeborahRossMinistries.org.